Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, yes, here we are. It's Full Moon Pirate Radio. We will explain. We are convening our backstage bureau chiefs, honoring the late, great Larry Bensky and also the late, great David Graeber. They have quirky connections between themselves. But think of the backstage bureau chiefs. I have the Umpepu smoking behind me. Umpepu is a kind of muti from the Sangomas of South Africa. And it is said to, you can use this with dedicated people. So by telepathy, radio telepathy, we're wafting it to everybody. It opens the channels to the ancestors. So think of backstage bureau chiefs, Larry Bensky, David Graeber, Studs Terkel, that we want to convene, really. We say, we cannot live through the dead, but we can invite the best in them to live through us. We are honoring the late great ally, Larry Bensky, indefatigable, deeply cultivated radio journalist, activist, and the late great David Graeber, whose two splendiferous books, The Dawn of Everything with David Wingrow and Pirate Enlightenment or The Real Libertalia, oh, it's so completely intriguing, we're offering as pledge incentives during our fund drive, so that we can be fully informed participatory Earth citizens at this time of dire beauty. So as you know, we are anarcho, entheo, astro, animism, endogenous, indigenuity. You know, so I love what we're offering. We are offering the great book, Pirate Enlightenment. I will be reading parts of it to entice you. But like pirates as egalitarian, experimental, powerful women. You know, again, what has been excluded, you know, and how are we to, by the power of conversing, bring in all that's been excluded that we need to know now? You know, David Graeber reminds us that, you know, Paleolithic high levels of care until death were exhibited. You know, a nurturing and caregiving species and no need for life to be nasty, brutish, and short. That's from his fantastic book, The Dawn of Everything. Just what do we need to know? What's been forgotten that we must remember? All of which, you know, and Larry Bensky as well, you know, for us now at this crucial time, so that we can be fully informed, participatory Earth citizens at this time of dire beauty. So it was a full moon, the full moon in Gemini Sagittarius, which is communicating stories, and we go, right. And just to honor our guiding chart for now, what's overhead as we begin is 15 Gemini, whose image is woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. That's KPFA, that's Pacifica, that's all of us here. Ooh, we need it. What's rising due east is 17 Virgo, whose image is a Ouija board. And, you know, we look for practical activism and then the magic backstage and the wedding of those as the indefatigable partnership that can triumph against all odds. So, you know, just wafting out, sometimes things fall in front of us. And these cards fell in front of me. they are from the Oracle of the Kabbalah, Mystical Teachings of the Hebrew Letters by Richard Seidman. Oh, I'll have him on. And here's what fell open right now here for us. Samech, the sign of support, shows up. It's time for supporting something and allowing ourselves to be supported. What needs our succor today? In what ways can we allow ourselves to receive and to give succor? We go, right. And remember, with everything in the world where there's kerfuffles and horror, we go to the deeper, deeper liberating traditions, the liberating traditions of the mystical Kabbalah, the liberating traditions of everything, the hidden history of pirates, all of that. So, yes, and then we are looking at, yes, well, the Ouija board and giving a rousing speech on behalf of the earth. So we're going to co-imagine KPFA as a pirate, egalitarian, libertalia community. And, you know, we shall unfurl. So first, Larry Bensky. Mitch Jezerich will be doing an honoring, bless Mitch Jezerich. Hi there, wonderful colleague. 2 hours on Tuesday, May 28th from 10 to 2. Most worthy, most worthy. May 28th also is a special election day in Berkeley. One of our listeners, Lena Auerbach, says everybody should vote, you know, and she's running too. She's a trickster listener dedicated to Berkeley left being brought together. We're not singling her out because we're a 501c3, but we are exhorting everyone. It's a ranked choice voting, right? So check out the candidates and vote on May 28th, as well as listening to Mitch Jezerich honoring of Larry Bensky on May 28th from 10 to 2 on KPFA. So Larry, you know, I admired him enormously, enormously. When I first heard him in 1988, I wrote him a long fan letter, and at the end, you know, I put, and if you want an astrological chart, I'd be happy to give you one for free. And he was like, thank you for the praise, but no to the astrology. And so we're going to offer him an astrology reading in a moment anyway, because it's so beautiful. But before we do that, you know, he had, you know, amazing, we often find out things about people after they've died going, well, we know that he was a stupendous congressional hearings election, reliable narrative guide, all homage, dedicated craft, you know, so wonderful. And it is adorable for such a worthy curmudgeon, born on May 1st, right, which is Beltane, but Workers' Day, perfect, perfect. So, and then he died on Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, which is really the most radio-friendly, pagan, Christian, syncretic holy day. It's when the Holy Ghost descends as a fiery dove onto the heads of all the apostles and basically makes them all broadcasters, right? So I am curmudgeon whisperer, and we love that about him. But so many things that about, you know, I'm missing the huge... Oh, notes. Who cares about notes, right? So Larry Bensky, you know, amazing, you know, he deeply cultivated. It's Matthew Arnold said to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. So Larry, you know, went to France, you know, worked for the Paris Review, wrote New York Times articles, was booted out for his, you know, anti-Vietnam War deal, and then wrote for Ramparts, wrote for, well, Mitch will go through this. He has the notes that I just lost. But I did want to feel the pertinence. We're going to play a brief excerpt. Here they are. Yes, never mind me. Mitch and I are both a little rattled, and so we will gather our wits with the community. There we go. Here we go. All right. So Larry worked for Random House, and then he went to France, edited the Paris Review, and he later on created Radio Proust. You can find all this online. And then New York Times booted him out due to his anti-Vietnam War views. Then he worked for Ramparts. He served as station manager for KPFA from 1974 to 1977. After returning to KSAN as a news anchor, reporter, and talk show host, he narrowly missed accompanying Congressman Leo Ryan to investigate conditions at the Jonestown colony in Guyana in 1978, which resulted in Ryan and four journalists being shot to death on an airstrip, precipitating the mass murder-suicide of over 900 people. So he missed that one, although he would have gone. He's indefatigable. In the early 1980s, Bensky turned his attention to the revolutions and American interventions in Nicaragua and El Salvador. He produced the PBS documentary Nicaragua, These Same Hands in 1980. Best known as national affairs correspondent for Pacifica Radio, he was so good. From 1987 to 1998, he covered numerous national and international events for Pacifica, including the Iran-Contra hearings. It was so deeply supportive and relaxing to listen to Larry narrate because, again, a reliable narrator, you know, fully informed, often witty, you know, and we go, oh, that's great. So the baton gets handed. And when we all pledge to KPFA now, you know, we're pledging to the long lineage of many great ancestors, and Larry being prominent among them. You know, so yes, he extensive coverage of the post-2004 election controversy in Ohio, as well as several congressional hearings about the misuse of executive power. He was one of the original co-hosts of Democracy Now. So Larry said, "I thought that bringing people information about things would stir things up. It's not that bringing people the information automatically brings a cure to humanity's ills, or it wouldn't have so many ills. It's that if you don't do it, it's certainly not going to change." So that's how I became what I think of as an activist journalist. So, yes, and before we set forth, we're going to listen to a brief excerpt of Larry's interviewing Noam Chomsky on February 13th, 1990, and feel how incredibly pertinent it is, and feel again the long lineage of KPFA doing this work that is still pertinent as a reliable news source on Gaza, Palestine, history of Israel, all of that, to keep that going. It's, you know, KPFA and Instagram and, you know, and TikTok, right, are the sources, the narrative sources that we can turn to. So here in 2 seconds, we will hear Larry interviewing Noam Chomsky. And just in the below it, in the Noam Chomsky archives, it says, "The host asks good questions, making for a relaxed, informative conversation." That was Larry. So here's Larry interviewing Noam Chomsky again, February 13th, 1990. Here we go.
Is if you can give us a capsule definition of how it is that the situation that you've begun to outline here in Israel and the Middle East has been so distorted and hidden from the American people that there really is absolutely no consciousness whatsoever of what is going on over there, what the state of Israel is and does, and how it came to be. How have we had that blindfold so securely fastened around our culture?
Well, it's a long story, and I hate to be glib about it, but just the main outlines. Since 1967, there's been a real love affair with Israel, mainly because of Israel's demonstration of its capacity to use force against third world opponents, which wins a lot of prizes in the United States. As a consequence of that, the U.S. government has had intimate relationships with Israel. Israel has become a kind of a mercenary state serving U.S. interests. And the media and the intellectual community never stray very far from state policy. And in this case, they had their own reasons for supporting Israeli power and suppressing a good deal of the reality of what was going on there. And in fact, that has enormously colored reporting and interpretation. So I have mentioned a few times in our discussion here that the United States and Israel have been blocking opportunities for a peaceful political settlement since about 1970, 71. That's virtually unknown here. The basic documentary record is not reported. You can't even find it in the scholarly literature much of the time. It's out of the media. It's out of public consciousness. And that continues to be the case up until today. I mean, let's take right now. Right now, almost the entire world for years, including the Arab states and the PLO, has been pressing for a two-state settlement, a general peace treaty for the entire region, with guarantees of the security of every state in the region and so on, and a Palestinian state established in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. That's been a very broad international consensus since certainly the mid-1970s, and it remains true today. The United States has blocked it. Israel's been opposed. Both political parties have been opposed to it, and the United States has blocked it and continues to block it. Right now, what's called the peace process in the United States, that refers to the Baker Plan. The Baker Plan is a support for what's called the Shamir Plan. Actually, it's the Shamir-Peres Plan. The very terms of that plan have never even been published in the United States, except in marginal journals like, say, Z Magazine, where I've published them. the terms of that plan are completely rejectionist. The only game in town from the point of view of the U.S. press bars the possibility of a Palestinian state. The basic premises of the Baker-Shamir-Peres plan are that there already is a Palestinian state, namely Jordan, and that there can be no second Palestinian state, and that the purpose of any negotiations will be simply to settle a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. That rules out any rights for the Palestinians. Well, the United States and Israel are virtually alone in the world in insisting upon this position and blocking possible diplomatic options that have always existed and continue to exist towards a general peace settlement. And that is virtually totally suppressed in the U.S. media. There's almost nothing about it.
There's another aspect of it which I found equally absurd, which is the charade that's currently being played out in such U.S. media as covered as the New York Times, that forces, major ruling political forces in Israel, are rejecting the Baker plan, as if there was a split between these two forces, whereas logic would seem to say that any nation that survives almost entirely on the largesse of another nation is capable of having its political will bent by that nation, and if Baker and Bush wanted something in Israel, they'd get it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, there's a consensus in the U.S. political leadership to establish the modalities of this plan. As in any country, much of the population doesn't agree with the state policy, just as it's true here. But there is no organized political force in Israel calling for a political settlement, and there won't be until such forces get support from the United States. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about the relations of dependency. I mean, Israel has chosen a course, very unwisely in my view, but it's chosen a course which makes it extremely dependent on the United States. And that means that no political force can develop in Israel unless it has backing in the United States. Until there is powerful support in the United States for a general political settlement, which means recognition of Palestinian national rights alongside of Israel, until there's support for that in the United States, articulate, you know, organized support, such forces are not going to reach any degree of strength inside Israel either. They need the support from here in order to survive.
One final question, Noam Chomsky, if I could get you to briefly comment on something that you've written about in article length and book length as well, and that is the Intifada, and especially the knowledge of the Intifada here in the United States. We see over and over again, with very rare exceptions, although there are some, including in the New York Times, which we all like to beat up on so much, which occasionally, like yesterday, writes an article that does have some truthful depiction of the situation of the Palestinian people and what they're undergoing. But by and large, the portrait we get of what the Palestinians are doing is of out-of-control, rioting teenagers and Israeli military who are applying the most benign possible pressure to suppress this uprising. Do you see that having to go to full-scale civil war before any kind of truthful understanding is reached here in the United States?
Coverage of the occupation has been extremely, misleading is an understatement. It's been extremely distorted since the beginning. It was always a harsh and brutal military repression, or occupation. There is no other kind of military occupation. Since the Intifada got started, it's become a lot worse. I mean, sometimes when it reaches kind of outlandish brutality, American media, but what is not reported or understood, there is a highly totalitarian regime controlling every aspect of the life of a Palestinian at every moment and in a completely arbitrary and irrational fashion. That's part of its purpose. There's constant humiliation, harsh repression. People have to be taught not to raise their heads. That's actually the way they put it. And they're taught that in every possible way, whether it's breaking the bones of children or forcing people to get authorization to carry out the most minor act. The killings at the a couple of days ago, recall where they were. They were at a place which is called in Israel the slave market. That's the place where Palestinian workers come in the hope that maybe they can get some miserably low-paying job where they'll be treated like worse than pigs, in the hope that they can survive. Now, the fact that it's called the slave market tells you exactly what you need to know about the ongoing situation, which does not get reported here. Israel has not permitted independent economic development in the territories. If you want to, say, carry out some, build a little factory or workshop or something, you have to get, not only do you have to get permission, but you have to get affidavits showing from Israeli producers saying this won't interfere with our trade, you know, won't compete with us. In every imaginable way, there is constant humiliation, repression, brutality, and total control exercised over the population. They're going to revolt. I mean, and that the whether Israel can repress them by force, I don't know. Nobody can know how long, you know, how much flesh and blood can endure. But it's going to be an ugly, shameful situation as long as the occupation persists.
You have been listening to Dr. Noam Chomsky in an interview with Larry Bensky of Pacifica Station KPFA in Berkeley, California. He is a professor of linguistics and philosophy, technology, and author of many books and articles on contemporary affairs. He writes regularly for Zeta Magazine and Lies of Our Times. For a copy of this program, call the Pacifica Program Service at 800-735-0230. That's 800-735-0230.
No, never mind that. That was just added on at the end of this extraordinary interview on February 13th, 1990. Right? So feel the pertinence of it now, you know, and feel him saying, you know, Larry and Noam in crucial dialogue, things we need to know from February 13th, 1990, but before that. You know, when Larry draws Noam out, and Noam really appreciated Larry as an interviewer, saying the two-state settlement has been, you know, on the table since the 1970s with huge support. It's the U.S. and Israel that have blocked it. And it's like, and all of this has been suppressed in U.S. media. They spoke in February of 1990, and here we are again. And that's why, again, this station, KPFA, beloved Pacifica, and this show, the Visionary Activist Show, where we wed, you know, participatory animism with action of all kinds and conversing from many, many different sources, is so crucial. So let me let you know what we're offering, what I'm touting this day. This is the last fund drive for the Visionary Activist Show this season. So Pirate Enlightenment, Pirate Enlightenment or the Real Libertalia by David Graeber. Who knew Madagascar, the Society of Pirates, incredible, you know, brewing. I will be reading some of it, but women highly participatory, egalitarian structures, you know, rebel culture. That's why I want to make Larry Bensky just sort of an honorary posthumous pirate in the best sense. The pirates' crews were born of mutiny. They elected their captains, right? They were experimenting with egalitarian democracy. There were the founding of Libertalia, both apocryphal and for real, you know, idealistic egalitarian communities of pirates with women in participatory equality. But it's like, this is something I really didn't know about. Again, Pirate Enlightenment or the Real Libertaria by David Graeber. It was published after he died. And we're offering this for a pledge of $140 because it's still in hardback. It's a beautiful book. I mean, just physically beautiful. Pirate Enlightenment. You know, and he's co-author of The Dawn of Everything that we're also offering for a pledge of $125, really great. And I think it goes really well with last week's splendid guest, James Fadiman, and his Psychedelic Explorer's Guide for a pledge of $100. So that's in keeping with our, you know, our anarcho-entheo-astro-animism, tying it all together. And so any one or all of those can be had as a thank you gift, as a pledge enticement, by calling 1-800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. What one will see in Pirate Enlightenment or the Real Libertaria is in Madagascar, right, it's a confluence of people from all over, from the Caribbean and from the, you know, East Indian Ocean and from the whatever and from, and European, and it's from conversing, a wonderful word. Con is with and verse is turning. We're conversing. We're all in this giant turning together. And it's very radio, right? The brewing together of many sources and the inclusive, including, and as citizen, effective citizens in crossing borders, nothing more useful, well, many things as useful, nothing more useful than be able to say, did you know? Did you know about the pirate utopia, egalitarian utopias in Madagascar, you know, where much that came to influence Europe was brewing there? And David Graeber and Larry Bensky, you know, really dedicated to now in their own different ways. You know, as I said, you know, when I had offered Larry Bensky an astrological reading in 1988, and he was like, no. All right. And I go, I understand completely, right? He's like, you don't believe in that. I go, no, you don't believe in English, do you? Astrology is the most exquisite and beautiful language of what it means to be a fully engaged and participatory human. But, you know, I'll get back to you. And so just for the, you know, I with the greatest of respect, not to intrude, you know, not to impose, because, again, Mitch Jezerich will be doing a great honoring of Larry on Tuesday from 10 to noon. But when Larry was born, the sun in Taurus is right next to Uranus, trickster, genius, rebel, positive piracy, really, you know, intuitive genius. And, you know, Uranus really is this, it's a part of all of us that's so crucial now in every part of the world. Uranus represents an intelligence that insists on equality, you know, and really throwing speciesism into the cauldron, you know, and chosen people into the cauldron, and, I mean, everything, and to go further back, you know, to find resolution, to find, and to invite in the necessary miracles for now. So I love that, you know, Larry Bensky, born with the sun Uranus, you'd go, an unusual person, contributing, really dedicated to democracy and freedom and culture. Again, Radio Proust. I mean, all kinds of things. It's like, whoa. His moon was at 16 Capricorn, quintile Saturn. Quintile, 72-degree angle of irresistible eloquence. Yes. And for us right now, the sun quintile Saturn, just as when Larry was born. It's not like, well, that happens all the time. It's like, no, it's pretty specific. It's pretty specific. And it's the capacity to open portals between worlds. And it's Saturn. There's the Berkeley election on Tuesday the 28th, when also Mitch will be doing his honoring of Larry Bensky. But Saturn, how shall we gather, you know, in this wonderful place, KPFA, our pirate ship, our pirate egalitarian brewing community, you know, to define leadership, to inhale leadership in each one of us, that autonomy is a sacrament, our own independence, and to spiral that out and hum that out in others. And the reason I love these 72-degree angles so much, don't have to believe it, here's just, you know, just entertain the possibility. It's so clean. It's a capacity, you know, and it can be bestowed on everyone listening now, to have a true perception and to be like a tuning fork, you know, in that it hums in others. So it's really clean. It's not an impact. It's not a one-time short violent encounter. It's a long-lasting, curvy, snaky influence. And we go, ooh. And the capacity to open portals between worlds. So intrinsically democratic. So when Larry was born, the moon at 16 Capricorn quintile Saturn. When he died, the sun and Jupiter quintile Saturn. There's a bequeathing. When David Graeber was born, the moon is at 16 Capricorn. They had the same moons, the same moons. And that's, you know, a signature. I love Daniel Gemario years ago on radio here said the original image for the moon in Capricorn was the council of wise beings dedicated to the next seven generations. And so we go, Larry Bensky, David Graeber, all of us here, dedicated, and we go, right. And it's thought of as a scrappy moon, having to raise oneself and assume responsibility early and being kind of cultured and street smart and savvy, and we go, right. And also the capacity to fold towels incredibly neatly. I don't know if Larry did that or David either, but I do know it's sort of creating order, you know, out of chaos. And Larry Bensky did that. David Graeber did that. Again, we're offering these books. Oh, how wonderful, Anonymous in Palo Alto. Thank you so much. Right. And so I love the comments being left, and we will keep people's names, well, especially Anonymous, certainly Anonymous. But it is a part of our conversing. So when you go to kpfa.org, you know, to pledge any amount is completely wonderful. But Pirate Enlightenment for a pledge of $140, super, like, did you know about Madagascar and the pirate egalitarian communities and the role of women and the role of indigenous people? Did you know about that? It's like, no. And it's hugely pertinent to us now to know, to decolonize, right? Yeah. And, you know, what has been forgotten that we need to know now. And the quality of feeling a dedicated life. I mean, it's like Larry Bensky was prodigious, dedicated, accomplished, multicultured. And we go, ooh. And it's what Robert Bly used to say about the young women gathering around Mary Del Lesueur, older poet, that they could feel themselves etched, inspired and etched against her dedication. And so I just invoke, you know, everyone, whether you knew Larry or listened to Larry or not, he's part of KPFA's extraordinary lineage of incredible competence and narrative reliability, informed and liberating, you know, that is part of our tradition. And that's what we're also inviting you to pledge, to support. You know, in KPFA's chart, bless its heart, its image is, you know, a woman, you know, wealthy with gifts more than she can hold, which is true. But KPFA's chart has no, it's all fire. It's all fire and air and all revelation of what's really going on backstage. Bless its heart. We love it. So it's all of us. So they have 7 fire planets, no earth, 3 air. In fact, the full moon is right on KPFA's whole broadcasting vertical axis. So no water, right? So the station itself is all fire and air. So what does it need from us? Earth, right? It's good to have a building. And water, the waters of life, also known as money. You know, again, Economist years ago that I host on the air reminded all of us that all of our words, all of our metaphors for money are all water, currency, cash flow, liquidity, rising tide. And I said to the Economist way back then, going, oh, this could be good news for mystics. Can you extend the metaphor? And he goes, well, sure. Yeah, pipelines go through neighborhoods. And in an oppressed neighborhood, it sucks money and water out, right, with outside ownership and sports stadiums and whatnot. And he said, so what we want to see, and see this really right now, is we want to poke holes in the pipeline so the waters of life circulate slowly. We've done many shows on slow money, slowly through the community. And think of KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show that way, that we're poking holes in the pipeline so that the waters of life flow around and rehydrate everything. There we go. So it is our friend. But again, so thank you, Anonymous in Palo Alto, for Pirate Enlightenment or The Real Libertalia by David Graeber. Let's talk about it afterwards. Thank you, Caroline, Person Writes, amazing visionary activist, donation dedicated to Dear Bensky. Yes, and your program, Flowers Better Than Bullets, listening last night while composing cursory but complete Kabbalah as a culmination for 30 years of study. Wow. Wow. Are you tuned into the ether? Ah, well, look at you. And we will address your birth chart at another time. That's born on Virgin de Guadalupe, and that's really important. A sacred day, 12/12, you know, year of the snake. Thank you. We will be in conversational cahoots, and that's part of it. Again, the information. You know, I like thinking of, you know, KPFA also, just to see it. We hand out, you know, everybody who listens gets a metaphoric magic backpack with things to play with, right? Which is, you know, for years, for 27 years, I've animated this metaphor and here it is, it's still useful. We have a magic mirror, which is to hold up a mirror to reality and go, look, it sucks in detail, right? And then with a wave of our hand or the paw, we turn the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. And then with another wave of our hand or our paw, we turn the window into a door. Let's go. Let's go there. This remains useful. So everybody, you know, we honor the secular critic part of all of us. It's crucial and necessary. You know, informing, critical, crucial. And then, but here's how it could be. You know, look how beautiful. And that resonates really in each receptive heart going, oh, it could be. It really could be. And then the door, let's go. So we love that dynamic. So again, I like the three things going together. I like the Pirate Enlightenment by David Graeber, Enlightenment or the Real Libertalia, full of just fascinating, like, I had no idea that pirates were anarcho-community organizers with really interesting women, equal and rousing, so we're offering that for a pledge of $140 because it's hardback. We're offering The Dawn of Everything by David Graeber and David Wengrow for a pledge of $125. I'm still reading this book, right? It's huge, but it's so liberating and fun and dedicated, feeling dedication. David Graeber, who died 3 days after completing the book that took him 10 years to write with David Wengrow, but you can feel the texture of dedication, right? That they wrote this dedicated to us now. You know, and it's also the quality of Larry Bensky's life. It was dedicated. You know, and that's a gift to all of us to feel ourselves etched against that, going, ooh. But The Dawn of Everything and The Pirate Enlightenment, published after he died, you know, these are dedicated in the sense of, like, things we should know now that in the history of human society, you know, it's not as it's come to us in orthodox ways. There are great moments of, you know, tyranny, egalitarianism, to and fro, sometimes with the same people, sometimes seasonally. But it's like to know that and to remember that humans have always had creative agency going all the way back to the Paleolithic, right? To decide, like, no, I think we're going to change our organizational structure. The pirates did that in Madagascar in the 17th century, right? The chapter I often reference out of The Dawn of Everything is on Teotihuacan, you know, just because it's so useful. And what David Graeber and David Wengrow say is that, you know, Teotihuacan, it emerges from, you know, Mayan culture, and like Mayan culture, for the first 300 years, it had a hierarchical priesthood, it had human sacrifice, it had infant sacrifice, it had, you know, a hereditary priesthood, it had, you know, hierarchical tyranny. But then, right, and what they write is, you know, you'd think, well, that's that for them. And Mayan culture had exquisite, you know, complexity and, you know, calendrical knowledge, and much of what we know of Mayan culture, evil Bishop Landa, excuse me, was burning the Mayan libraries, and then he had a change of heart, you know, and was like, oh, wait a minute, and he plucked things out of the fire, and that's all we have now. So it's like, oh, the tyrant, then it's the, again, complexity and nuance. But so what they say in The Dawn of Everything about Teotihuacan is after 300 years, the citizens of Teotihuacan made a decision to change the entire structure of their community. And from then on, there was no kind of huge monuments, there was no hierarchical priesthood, there was no, you know, human sacrifice, and they decided to dedicate all of their collective wealth to everyone having quite beautiful housing and art, right? And they're pitching it to us, going, we can do that. You know, Ursula Le Guin said, you know, capitalism seems inevitable, but so did the divine right of kings, right? And we're at this tippy point. We want trickster, ingenious, cultivated parts of ourselves that are represented where we feel kinship with the work of another. Oh, and thanks also, Barry in Scotts Valley. He says, I've been microdosing on the Visionary Activist show since the beginning. There's no other show on KPFA that is capable of marrying the two ideological different social factions, the politicos and the mystics. The Caroline's radio ship hosts its anarcho-mystical pirate flag over Washington, D.C. Yeah, well, we're doing that. And let me just encourage such a wonderful word, so much better than the word empower. Just linguistic magic is important. Empower is a government term. Right, you empower a committee to do such and such, right? And then, you know, it's waning. It's not so used right now. But a much more fun word is that can replace empower is encourage, which means to feed the heart. So we're encouraging our citizen allies to call 1-800-439-5732 or pledge online at kpfa.org, where you can leave a jaunty message, which will be read or not read according to your wishes, but it's part of our conversing. And you know, and every time you call, I will pick another mystical Kabbalah. Well, I'll just do it now anyway. So I have the mystical Kabbalah, beautiful, there we go. The Oracle of the Kabbalah. Somebody sent me this, I think the author, and it just popped up out of a pile of things. So here we go. The Oracle of Kabbalah, Mystical Teachings of the Hebrew Letters by Richard Seidman. Hi, Richard. I just found whatever you sent me, possibly years ago. but it's great. So he says, Zayin is a call for incisiveness, for that sharp clarity of mind and intention that safeguards that which is precious. We go, ooh, okay, we're invoking that. So if you would like some Zayin, if you want to pledge to all of our and your own incisiveness, sharp clarity of mind, and intention that safeguards that which is precious, right, to be language skilled, to have all of our participatory skills available to us, which is, yeah, the two things as how wonderful. It's very exciting. Okay, we're doing great. We're doing great. That's really wonderful. Thank you, team. Woof woof. All right. So, in keeping with Barry, did I hear a gentle murmur? I did hear a gentle murmur. It's yourself. It's Laura.
It's a gentle murmur of matching funds.
Huh. How exciting.
Yes, we have Elizabeth in Sausalito, Eileen in San Francisco, and Nancy in Santa Rosa. Have put up $600 for us to match up in the next 15 minutes here on
We Can Do This. And, yeah, and let me thank Nadine in Martinez, California, who pledged for the dawn of everything and says, woof, woof, reciprocal, woof, 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 woof. And Marjorie in Big Sur, hi there, who pledged $400, bless her heart, for Pirate Enlightenment. I rely on KPFA and everyone involved. We rely on you. You know, it's reciprocal, it's to and fro, so that is super wonderful. And here is Laura, our great ally. And I realize, I just want to bring up one person who is an important person in our history. It's in Pirate Enlightenment, but also written a lot about in the Dawn of Everything, which is the Huron statesman, Kandiyohonk. You know, he took the position of an egalitarian and skeptical rationalist, and he is in dialogue with the Europeans, and they're most impressed. And he held that the punitive apparatus of European law and religion was made necessary only by an economic system arranged in such a way that it would inevitably produce precisely the behaviors that the apparatus was designed to repress, right? And then it goes on. There's huge chunks on Kandiyohonk, and we go, right, we these important parts of our heritage that we want to invite in now. So, yes, and I realize I've over-prepared in some way. I have sticky notes. Well, we'll honor the Pirate Enlightenment, and I will read little excerpts here and there, but we are in our dedicated time. Let me just say this a little bit. I think this is useful to all of us, too. David Graeber is writing about Condé Rank, the Huron statesman. Powerful, powerful. And then, you know, we must remember him because he gets written out of history. That's what we're here to do. And then Graeber says, I still recall as a child being impressed by an interview with the Sufi writer Idris Shah. Hi there. Who remarked how curious it was that so many intelligent and decent human beings in Europe and America spent so much of their time in protest marches chanting the names and waving pictures of people they hated. Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? Didn't they realize, he remarked, how incredibly gratifying that was to the politicians they were denouncing? It was remarks like that, I think, that eventually caused me to reject a politics of only protest and embrace one of direct action. And just a brief word about the word protest. It means protest. It means to grab your balls and affirm, right? So if we could just change that word again, Standing Rock, you know, to protector, right? Anyway, so and then what Graeber says to entice everybody to pledge for this really, really quirky, invaluable book, Pirate Enlightenment. He says, let us tell then a story about magic, lies, sea battles, purloined princesses, slave revolts, manhunts, make-believe kingdoms, and fraudulent ambassadors, spies, jewel thieves, poisoners, devil worship, and sexual obsession that lies at the origins of modern freedom. I hope the reader has as much fun as I did. All right, so you can have as much fun as David Graeber did, and that's what comes through in his books. They are not like, oh, I should read this. They are like really so smart. Every page is like, I didn't know that. That's so liberating. You know, anyway, so we're just bringing, and then Anonymous in Albany, California. Thank you so much. Anonymous also in Oakland. Thank you so much for the consistently amazing visionary activist show and all the enlightened information. That's wonderful. And we do, Laura, remind us, we have these, the wonderful citizen allies who are doing a match for $1,000?
Right. Well, no, it was $600. So we're down to $400 now, and we've got 10 minutes to go. So good. No, we're getting there. But no callers on the line.
So. Oh, okay. Well, let me. So in everybody's images now, let's think of KPFA as a pirate ship. In the newly informed of ancient truth that it was that pirate ships were egalitarian, they were egalitarian, and then they founded Libertalia, which was both apocryphal and real, a pirate community. So think of Laura and me and you. You know, we're on a pirate ship in the best sense of the word, and what Graeber says is about pirate enlightenment. This is a book about pirate kingdoms, real and imagined. It's also about a time and place where it's very difficult to tell the difference between the two. For about 100 years, from the end of the 17th century towards the close of the next, the east coast of Madagascar, who knew, right? Graeber knew, was a scene to a shadow play of storied pirate kings, pirate atrocities, pirate utopias, rumors of which shocked, inspired, and entertained the clients of cafes and pubs across the North Atlantic, but informed them as well. That Libertalia, both real and imagined, was an egalitarian republic in which slavery had been abolished and all things were shared in common and administered democratically, you know, created by a French pirate, and it goes on like that. And he says, but there most certainly were pirate settlements on the Malagasy coast, and what's more, they were the place for radical social experiments. All right, so in the dawn of everything, that goes into radical social experiments. This book does too. And I like including the Psychedelic Explorer's Guide from our splendid guest last week, James Fadiman. There's the entheo part. It's like a little microdosing and then read Pirate Enlightenment and Bob's your uncle. So there we go. All right. All by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org. And your notes are super, super welcome. Thank you so much again, Anonymous in Oakland and everybody else. But all right, so there's nobody on the line now, according to Captain Pirate Laura.
Yeah, so maybe because we haven't given out the number, it's 1-800-439-5732. But we do prefer people to go to kpfa.org if they can.
Oh, okay.
It's just simpler and a little bit of a less overhead for us. What?
And it's the website where you can most easily write notes. There we go.
Yeah, you can also tell the person in the phone room if you want to leave a note. That's also possible to
right.
relay
but if you go
note.
To KPFA, if you go to kpfa.org, you can have linguistic autonomy in
exactly.
any of as displayed by Anonymous and Nadine and you know. Anyway, so you can write anything you want, which is super 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 welcome. And Graeber says, but most certainly the pirate settlements on the Malagasy coast. How many of us know about Madagascar and the Malagasy coast as really important to us now? All the ancestors are like, here, let's help the modern humans out because they're doing a terrible job. And what's more, they were the place for radical social experiments. Pirates did experiment with new forms of governments and property arrangements. And so did the members of the surrounding Malagasy communities into which they married, many of whom had lived in their settlements, sailed in their ships, formed blood brotherhood pacts. And it's full of, you know, spiciness and imperfection and experiment. But again, about Madagascar's most stubbornly egalitarian peoples. This is what we want to know about. This is what this station is dedicated to. And certainly the Visionary Activist Show, absolutely, you know, what has been done that we must know about, and that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning, you know. And I do want to also honor our beloved Larry Bensky as a richly, deeply cultivated being. You know, his Radio Proust and his incredible knowledge. And it doesn't matter that he thought astrology was nonsense. Most people do. That's part of our colonial mind, and it's not a big deal. But that's so wonderful. So by calling 800-439-5732 or pledging online, kpfa.org, and leave a fun message, you know, we want to keep this station, this place of community conversing, this information alive. You know, as if you listen to even just a portion of the interview that Larry Bensky did with Noam Chomsky in February of 1990, you know, you'll realize how important it is, again, ongoing, that the mainstream narrative press is full of lies, and here we are again, but there's more and more woof. Let's see this station, this show, you know, as, you know, windfalls of wherewithal, like, like with a kind of pirate attitude, like, oh, how adorable, that person gave a bazillion gold bullions, whatever it is, surprise us, right? 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. You know, the Republic of Libertalia may not have existed, or at least in any literal sense, but pirate ships, pirate towns like Ambonavola and the Betsy Marasca Confederation were created by Malagasy political actors working in close tandem with pirates. Pirates were in many ways self-conscious experiments in radical democracy. We have people behind us experimenting in radical democracy. Back, I mean, the pirate book is about, you know, 16 and 1700s, and we go, right. And he talks about the remaining as a stubbornly egalitarian people to this day, the Malagasys, notorious, in fact, for their refusal to accept the authority of overlords of any sort. Put that in our pipe and smoke it. Right, the refusal to accept the authority of overlords of any sort. This is really important. Marie, thank you so much. I've been a dedicated listener and I love KPFA. And James, thank you so much. I started listening to the Visionary Activist Show a long time ago and it's become a weekly event. Mwah! We love you. We love you. Okay, we're creeping into respectability. We're creeping into four figures. That's great. How are we doing, Captain Pirate Laura?
Yeah, we're getting to our match too. That's wonderful. Thank you, everyone who's calling in. We really appreciate it. We do have a caller on the line. You can join them, 1-800-439-5732. But many people have also gone to the website, so we appreciate that as well.
Definitely. You know, and what Graeber says in Pirate Enlightenment, which is just so trippy, because it's very few people will know anything in this book, right? And Elizabeth in Santa Cruz, thank you, thank you. She says thank you. So much appreciation for David Graeber, too. Yes. Our colleagues who have gone on, again, Larry Bensky, David Graeber, I like putting Studs Terkel as our backstage bureau chiefs on behalf of the dead. I do not presume certainty about the mysteries of death, but there have been, I have had some remarkable across borders experiences. And so we entertain that possibility, you know, Larry Binsky and David Graeber and, you know, and Studs Terkel, right? And nominate people that you want, you know, to be our backstage allies. I did like the Umbepu and the Sangomas. They know the ancestors are real. I go, all right, I ride the horse of your knowledge. And again, Graeber says over and over again, if somewhat in passing, the importance of pirates in all this, particularly in spearheading the development of new forms of democratic governance. I go, that's great. The full moon on Pacifica's midheaven, which is its broadcasting self. The full moons are a lot. Like, feel unexpected generosity. Whew, whatever you donate to this station, our place of convening, you know, where you're super, super welcome, surely it will come back to you a thousandfold. There we go. So there's that. Right, and I'll just, again, diversity is crucial for egalitarian experiments. This is an important point of The Dawn of Everything, and also the Psychedelic Explorer's Guide for a pledge of $100. You know, it's like a microdose while reading, I think is super useful. The kinship, I will say that Stella Coyote, when always appreciated people on entheogens, going, now you're in my world and you see what I see. So participatory animism, but... what Graeber says in the Pirate Enlightenment book, you know, again, diversity. The same ship might include Englishmen, Swedes, escaped African slaves, Caribbean Creoles, Native Americans, and Arabs, committed to a certain rough and ready egalitarianism, tossed together in situations where the rapid creation of new institutional structures was absolutely required, that they were in a sense perfect laboratories of democratic experiment. Well, we're there now. We're there now. Oops, we're almost running out of time. Do another exhortation, Laura.
1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. Join the one person that's on the line. Make it two.
Ooh. And also, just David, to all you women out there, what Graeber says, I'm going to argue in this book, the advent of pirates might be said to have set off a series of revolutions on the coast. First and probably the most important of these revolutions was spearheaded largely by women. I don't know if we use the word spearheaded, but what the hell. It was aimed at breaking ritual and economic power of the clan that had previously been oppressors. Anyway, all of this is super crucial, so... 1-800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online would be super, super welcome. I have all these post-it notes in the book, which we haven't gotten to everything to. But there's a whole thing on a sexual revolution against the children of Abraham. An enchantress living in one of the islands of the Indian archipelago saves the life of a pirate, a man of savage but noble nature, and they create a democracy. And he wrote Mary Shelley. So again, thank you, Anonymous and Novato. Thank you. But keep it pouring. We want to make our match. Are we close to making our match?
I think we've got Pirate? Just like $100 to go now. So yeah.
All right, come on,
close.
Team.
Yeah,
we can do it.
We've got a minute and a half.
2 minutes.
Let's do counting. It. And we'll keep counting for a couple minutes after.
Okay, that's good. Again, Psychedelic Explorer's Guide goes really well with that for a pledge of $100. Dawn of Everything by David Graeber and David Wengrow for a pledge of $125. And our featured book, Pirate Enlightenment. Really, you don't know anything in this book. I would be very surprised. And it's like amazing and it's crucial. You know, what do we need to know? So again, 800-439-5732. Oh, thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, our indefatigable, wonderful board op. And thank you, Captain Pirate Laura.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks okay, to everyone right. who donated.
Yes, and keep it going. All right. Thank you, team.